Welcome and thanks for listening. Here at Oddcast, we are very grateful to live and record in the beautiful Pacific Northwest on the current ancestral and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Oddcast and our current campaigns. Well, season two campaign. Oh my God,
still season one.
Still season one. My brain is forgetting
off season.
Agency Archives. That's what it is. Agency Archives, where our wonderful agents solve multiplanar messes and one step at a time. One step backwards, one step backwards.
And occasionally a step
constantly
forwards.
Doing other things. We're currently playing in the Call of Cthulhu universe, and I, your wonderful intern Skirzit, is here to continue just interning as intern.
Always been there, Skirzit. You've been here this whole time since the beginning.
Yeah, haven't hijacked at all the current position. My office is still in the same place. It's right by the eyeball. It's great.
Yeah, that eyeball. I was gonna say it's beautiful decorating.
It
of
is.
The cubicle.
Yeah, it bleeds twice a day, and I think it should bleed more. But
well, that's blood. I thought that was maybe, I don't know. It was like a.
I've tasted it. I think it's blood.
Oh, I just thought maybe it was like a little bit like a leftover from the.
Oh, like that, a, like
from
a,
the office party, some punch or something.
Yeah,
this stuck. I didn't realize that was a.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyways, welcome back. Before we get
why is our office bleeding?
episode, a recording. Let's introduce our wonderful cast of characters. Please introduce yourself. We'll go left to right in a big circle. Please introduce yourself, your agent, and I guess who you're playing, and then also give a fun fact. To my left.
All right. I am Graham. I am playing Agent Periwinkle, who is currently embodying Sandra Lou Hu, who may or may not, it has been revealed to me by someone more in the know about these things, be somewhat a reference to a certain other police officer who is really, really popular on Rule 34.
What? Wait, did I do something that I'm not aware of?
Zootopia, the fucking bunny. Oh my god!
Oh my god! You are kind of the bunny.
Who is the most popular police officer on Rule 43? It's pretty obvious who that is.
43.
Wait, no, isn't it? Isn't it Nick Wilde? I feel like Nick Wilde is the most popular in Rule 34.
Really?
Or Rule 34, whatever
because
it is.
Because he's a dude, and I feel like Rule 34 has more like gay. I guess maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know, man. I don't know who.
I don't know.
I guess we'll have to find out right now for science.
So you're saying people are into bunnies in uniform?
They're into that bunny kind of more often not in her uniform.
You know what? This actually is terrible because it covers multiple fetishes. She's smaller than most people. She's in uniform as a cop.
She has an attitude.
She has an attitude.
She definitely talks from the bottom.
Lolita?
That
was her name.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Lolita Bunny. That's what I think that's what it was, right?
Lolita Bunny, not Lola. Lola Bunny.
What's her actual name?
Lola.
Lola Bunny. No, it was Lolita.
No, that was in Space Jam.
Lola Bunny is the
No, but we're talking about Judy Hopps.
Judy.
Here we go.
Yeah, of course. It's a Detective Judy. Fucking Judy.
Anyway, my fun fact is more of a horrifying fever dream that happened to me today.
Judy Hopps.
I got an extra coffee before I came here, and I went to Tim Hortons, and I was spacing out, and then I realized I could hear somebody bellowing, motherfucker, really loud, like a whole bunch of times.
Okay.
And I slowly tuned back in, and it was like, because is there radio anymore? Like, is radio a thing that still exists?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they weren't playing the radio. They were playing something with no radio edits.
All we need is radio.
And I was like...
Yeah, radio, blah, blah.
Now, this is really weird because it's also reminding me of, like, a YouTube comedy rap from, like, ages ago.
Okay.
And so I ended up looking it up. And, yeah, the Tim Hortons was blasting really loud a 17-year-old YouTube comedy rap about being a boring person, motherfucker.
What? That's so weird. Did someone just like put the
Was it plugged into an iPod Nano?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on behind the counter.
Specifically an iPod Nano. So
just
it could be
some
hidden.
Weird Anglo-Quebecer YouTube comedian.
Anglo-Quebecer.
Wow.
Love that.
They're okay. Not Quebecois when they're Anglo. They're
You got a little bit
I don't
bit
know why
of
Anglo sounds like a slur when they're Anglo, when they're being a little Anglo, you know, a little Anglo bitch.
Yeah. You're coming off a little Anglo.
It does sound
What's
like
your Anglo,
You're
man.
Coming into this room all Anglo. Oh. All up in oh,
why are you like... going Anglo on those people?
Yeah.
Lots of Protestant work ethic there. Anyways, to our next, agent then, introduce yourself, who you're playing.
Hello, my name is Will. I'm playing Agent G Yellow. You know, we're going to shorten up Gumbush Yellow. And then I'm playing Sister Valerie Wu. Mm-hmm. Okay, my fun fact was initially about my sister being... I have a 6-year-old sister who's playing Roblox and she got permanently banned for like sexually pursuing others. And they thought that she was like an old pedophile. But like, no, she was pursuing others. But that's like, not the fun fact I was saying.
What?
My fun fact? I don't know.
That's not
permabanned.
The fun fact.
Yeah, no, my dad had to like make her
your
account.
Your 6-year-old sister?
Yes.
Okay.
What does pursuing others mean?
Well, she was like, you know how like Roblox is like platform for a bunch of kids, but there's like a bunch of sexual predators who go on it.
They get into a room and
they start chatting with kids and like being like weird and sexy and whatever. So my sister was doing that, but she's 6 and like the website thought she was a creep.
Yeah. She was just talking to people?
Like, she was, like, being, like, I don't know. She was, like, being, like, sexual. Like, I don't know. She was permabanned, and then now my dad has to make her a new account.
Oh, my God.
My sister is a savage. Like, one time, like, my mom was, like, watching a show, like, a year ago, and she was 5. My sister comes, and she's, like, I want to watch a show now here. And mom was, like, okay, give me 5 minutes. And then, like, my sister leaves and comes back exactly in 5 minutes. She's, like, your time is up. And I'm, like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And she will grow up into something.
She'll be a boss, bitch.
But my actual fun fact is that a few weeks ago, I took some acid. And, oh, God. It was such a weird night. So I took
and you
some
have
acid.
A rash now that you can't get rid of.
No. Wait, I don't get the joke. What's the joke about rash and acid?
What? Caustic. It's a caustic joke.
Yeah.
What's
that you burned your skin
caustic
with
that
acid.
That doesn't matter. It's fine.
I don't know. It's like, it went like, it didn't go over my head. It's like fucking
No, if it'd gone over your head, you would know because it'd be itchy as hell.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, all over I your get face that. And
so I took some acid and then like, well, my friends were like, oh, let's go to the club. I'm like, whatever. Okay. So I go to the club. And I am not a dancer, so I sit down at a table. And
so
there's
this was LSD. This wasn't like this
no,
was
just LSD.
MDMA. LSD, okay.
Yeah, it's just like one tap. Right. One tap, and then do some weed too, okay. Like right. Some like right. Liquid, like whatever.
All right.
So next. 6 hours later, we go
having a fun time.
Hold on.
Time.
So we go, and so I don't dance. So I sit down in the corner. And I just watched 4 girls play Mario Kart, like the old Mario Kart. They had like a TV set up to play.
Okay, cool.
So I'm watching those 4 girls play Mario Kart. But then I noticed, because I'm so self-aware, I'm so high, like that I look like a creep. Because like I have like a deadpan face and I'm just like staring in their direction. And then right next to me in the corner, there's a 40-year-old man who's dressed up in like a full-on pink bunny suit, just dancing himself like in the corner. He's just like staring in the corner and dancing. And I'm like...
Like the Energizer Bunny.
And I thought I was high and I was like maybe hallucinating. I don't know. But then my friends came and they also saw him. And I was like, okay, it's not just me. Anyway, so then we left and went to Numbers. Mm-hmm. And in Numbers, I got some shawarma. While I was eating shawarma, a girl got sexually harassed and everyone like got involved. And I was just eating my shawarma high. And then I went upstairs
Crazy
to
night.
The club. And then I was like, let me get some water. So I'm getting some water. And it's like 7 or 8 hours after it took acid. And I think the acid finally like hits its peak. I don't know what it was, but I started losing sense of time. Like Eric comes up to me. He's like, Will, when should we go home? Like maybe in half an hour. So then I say that. I check my phone. It's like 12:30. I'm like, cool. I talk to him. I go downstairs. I bring a friend over. She gets a drink. I talk to her. I like look at some. Oh, there's like screens, like cameras, TV, like broadcast to watch people dance. Like you can be a creep and just like watch people dance. Yeah. And I just watch them dance.
This is perfect for you.
And then I talk to her. And then I go down to Eric. And then I look at my phone. 3 minutes have passed.
Yes, yeah, it's a time dilation. It's like you did everything. It's like you just got extra time all of a sudden.
But the
in
issue
life.
Is,
like
I'm
moving
like,
at the speed
wait,
of light.
But I'm like, oh fuck! Like I don't think I should be here right now because it's so easy to take advantage of me right now. Like, I have no sense of time. That's like, maybe I should go home. So we ordered Uber home. We're on the Uber home. Eric starts to watch memes. And like, at this point, this is like the one time Eric starts getting every like creepypasta, like random jump scare, like shorts that he never gets. And we're both high watching them being what the fuck is happening? We go home. We end up watching this show called Bet, which is a live action remake of an anime called Kakuguro. It's like the one.
Oh, I know which one.
It's like an anime where so they play crazy. Gambling games, like but like they like die.
Oh, they're like making whatever.
You don't die. It's a high school where everyone's ranking is like based on how much money they have, and they get more money by playing gambling games. Yeah. So it's like whoever is the best gambler is like the
and they would bet their like fingers, arms, lives, like whatever. I don't know, like slavery or something. But like the show was so bad, and then we also watched Murderbot, and it was like I was so high. And anyway, we went to sleep at like 4:30 a.m. So you know, we had some Dairy Queen.
Wow, that's a lot you did in a short amount of time.
You did that all in. Was it 7 minutes?
No, that one was like a lot. That was a little bit.
You got the Dairy Queen in 7 minutes. Yeah.
You don't notice how like fast everything.
You're
like,
oh my god! I also couldn't fall asleep. Like, we went to sleep at 4:30, not because like we took acid at like 5:36. Yeah. It works for like 12 hours. Yeah, I was like,
if you get a resistance to it, but initially, it
you do get resistance, but if you don't have it for like a month, it does kind of like go back to original. Anyway, sorry, that's it for me.
Interesting, fun night though.
It was like taking mushrooms. It's not that different, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
So some people say mushrooms hurts their stomach.
It does make you nauseous, depending. But like, I don't
depends.
If you take if you put mushrooms in like some citric acid or something like that to break down,
I heard, yeah,
then it's better.
It's in there, then it doesn't.
I just chuck it. I raw dog him. I'm just like,
people chewing on the leather.
In my experience, they made me nauseous, but they didn't hurt my stomach. It was just like
the feeling,
easily and painlessly throwing up and being like, oh, wait, you threw that? Up? I'm fine now. Weird. Let's be really high.
Wait, you threw up?
A few of the times I took mushrooms, I never afterwards, but
I actually never, like, because people say that everyone gets nauseous, but I never heard anyone throw up. It's just kind of like a nauseousness. Did you? Interesting. I don't know. To each their own.
Intriguing. To each their own. Yeah.
I mean, some people like to throw up.
Be on board.
I do not. Anyways, to our next cast member, then please introduce yourself.
Does Judy Hopps
like mushrooms and my character LSD? No, I'm Gray. I play Agent Umber, who's masquerading as Purdy Hoobunkins. I have candy cane hair now, and I have a little brown burgundy book. I was going to say brown book, but it's not a brown book.
No, it's burgundy.
Because that would just be boring, and that would be something that my father would have in his study.
Yes, he does have a little brown
plenty book. Of brown books, but no burgundy books.
Yeah,
this is special.
It's got his fantasy pickle.
Full of stories and merriment and some dark tales, maybe, perhaps. Yes. Some Brothers Grimmish type things around the origin of
The true dark
tale. There's also an image of a rabbit in a uniform, a bunny, something very strange.
Who is this elder?
And then and actually, as you flip through it, it's sort of a flip book, and is she taking it off? Is she what is she stripping this her uniform off? I don't know if I should be privy to this.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm creeping on this button.
On this button.
And my fun fact is, I showed you that video of the hot tub thing. That was pretty wild. We had a hot tub installed, and we had to. There's no way to have it. Arrived to the house
in Penticton.
It's in Penticton. Oh,
I literally was thinking about your apartment. I'm like,
no.
What the fuck are you talking about? What hot tub? Where do you put
this?
This
is a rental home. Yeah, hole.
Yeah, in Penticton.
And so we had it installed up there, but the in this like perfect spot that happens to fit exactly, and it was like almost made for that. We had other things there at the time, and you could put like paddle boards and things like that. But there was no way to wheel it in. So I was like, are you sure you can't just like carry it over this like AC compressor on the side of the house? Or you can't just, you know, there's a privacy wall on one side. You can't just hoist it over that. They're like, no, it's 1,000 pounds. Like, you can't. There's no way. It's like, okay. So anyway, calling all the stops, every crane company in this small town. Like, there's not that many, but every single one booked solid. So then I called a log cabin construction company, which I guess it's not really the season for log cabins. I was kind of like, you know, maybe they're, they feel maybe like they right now, maybe they like, don't. Yeah. And they happen to have their own crane. I'm like, do you guys use your crane for like other things? They're like, yeah, actually we do. Do you have time? And they're like, yeah, all right, we can make that work. So they arrive with this like 60-foot crane. It's the biggest crane I've ever seen on the back of a trailer ever. And it's enormous. Like the whole neighborhood, all the whole block like just pulls like up their lawn out. Chairs.
Yeah.
Like, watch this. This is the most entertaining thing that's happened all year.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that was interesting. I wonder if they'll clear those power lines. It's huge. Like, it's very, so anyway, they were in and out. It was super swift, but there's this hilarious point where they're like, it's like cantilevered over the house. And it brings up these like hydraulic legs to stabilize it.
Like a spider.
And on the end where it's hanging over the house, it's got like 30,000 pounds of downward force because of like you know, the leverage that's being applied to this. And it's just dangling there. And it's a windy day. And it's like one of those things where the guy on the radio is like, we need to clear more 15 more feet. And the guy who's running the crane, he can't see, right? So he's like, 15 more. I don't know, we got 15 more. Yeah. You know, well. And then it's like, and then it was like being lowered right in front of the house, and I'm like, oh god, gust comes,
and
you're just like insurance, the whole way down. And then when they finally like slid it into place, you could hear that as it like all the air, escaped, and it was like a perfect seal, and it was
nice.
We think that spot was basically going to be for a hot tub, but never really. Got at least my mom thinks that it was like for a hot tub and never really got.
Could
like,
be.
Did you buy it off of someone else, or did you like guys like your family built it from the ground up? Like I don't.
We that was built, but it was built over time, so there was a lot of add-ons and renovations done. And so at different times, there could have been some future proof. You know, like there was conduit like run through there, but it could have been for any other number of reasons.
Gotcha.
So.
Yeah. That's a good fact. I guess. Okay. What
looks like a movie set. You know, like where you got something just like hanging. It looked like. Like it was like CG, it was just floating above the house. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it does. It looked like a lot. Like it was like this is weird perspective.
Yeah, it was a strange perspective. Yeah, it had that like yeah, this is not a real set. Yeah, looking thing.
This is not real.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, with that, I guess back to me. In real life, when I'm not a person working at the agency, my name is Kev. I guess many people have good fun facts that I could pull off of, but I have now already been distracted by so many that I will just mention my little fun fact that I got a new fun little book for $50 at Indigo, which is a little one-shot book. Yeah, yeah, it's called Adventures with Franz, and it's super cute.
It is. Everything's like kind of Paper Mario style.
Yeah, the reason I got it was that I wanted it for market research for any Kickstarter and or publishing stuff that we do when we basically are going to kind of update and it's not fully rebrand, but
there's a lot of like pages that are like
it has a bunch of supportive like documents and things that you can just cut out, so it's all paper cutouts for people,
tokens
and it's a really cool book, and it's good information for us because we're going to do kind of a bit of a mini rebrand of like social media, but also like post a bunch of other things that we've done with podcast stuff and other content and I wanted to use this as some good reference for as well the adventure kits that Grayson and I knows about, that I'm trying to get like a booklet together so I can then print the 3D models for the one shot, which is fun. But I wanted that as a reference because it's a really cool little set of one shots for people who've never played the game before. And it is really neat and really cute. Anyways, with that, I guess I will go into a little bit of a recap. Last time you went out to go and see the tree demo done by the wonderful Robbie, who you're just such a fan of, it seems.
Robbie Appleseed.
Robbie Appleseed. And
Becky Apples from
Becky Apples from
Central World. Sorry. Yeah.
No Becky Apples in this world.
Oh,
but
damn it.
You went out to the barn, basically out into the darkness of the night to the barn, and there he sat you down on some chairs and went out to go and get you a tree so we could do the tree demo, how to decorate it, how to set it up. While you were there, you noticed or heard something at the back of the barn that was maybe towards like a storage area. There was a raised section above at the very back of the barn. And so Sarah decided to investigate, walking to a ladder and climbing upwards. When Sarah got to the top, they noticed a weird spindly looking puppet person who was climbing on the walls, who moved very quickly down to the same level with them and asked them who they were. Sarah explained cautiously, trying to make sure they didn't anger this weird creature, and in doing so discovered that this was Sun, or I think it also goes by boy, but Sun is here, and that it was another puppet made from the bones of a human and a bunch of pine pieces. Now, while that was happening, Valerie Vu was able to get some little pieces of paper, some notes, some writings that were left on a desk. And on that desk, there was also a map of the tree farm. And on that tree farm, there was an X, which denoted where a tree was put.
I was thinking too.
Yeah, yeah. This is not a farm. There's no animals here. It's only trees.
Christmas tree orchard.
That's true. It's an orchard. So on the orchard, you saw this sort of map. There's X where the bad tree, the supposedly tree that was planted by the investors, was. When he came back out, you had basically enticed the Sun down. And initially he was concerned that you would be upset that this thing is here because it is a horrifying, monstrous pine and human bone puppet. But you have seemed to be chill about this to a degree. And in doing so, you were able to basically convince him that you were actually working for the investors in an undercover boss scenario.
That's right.
We were not fucking chill. We were like playing it cool. Also,
like a secret shopper thing.
Also,
I don't know.
If humans to us it's crazy, but to Whovillians, it's like, you know, like they've seen things.
Sometimes they don't let the stork take the bones back when they're finished. Yeah.
Sky burials. Everyone in Whoville does sky burials. You played it cool, said that you were like secret shopper, like, hey, we're actually working for the investors here.
I take credit for all of this, by the way.
And he, absolutely desperate to believe that you were actually doing that and we're not going to get upset about this whole situation with his son, seemed to believe you after a good persuasion roll. He basically explained, like, yeah, the tree is doing well. There's a tree. We planted it. It's been doing nice. And you also discovered when you were investigating, before he came back, that there was a bunch of fresh meat just available, and he explained that they were using the meat for the tree. They were feeding the tree itself. So you asked to go and see the tree and to check on it, and when you did, he gave you a bunch of buckets of meat, and then you walked off into the forest. He was feeding the meat to odd roots that came out of the ground, basically looking for what looks like sustenance, and when he did so, the roots would retreat. But basically, the entire crew, which is you, the driver, and Donald, Robbie and his son, got to the tree itself. The tree was covered in blood, constantly dripping viscera, covered in parts, body parts, and organs, basically kind of slathered on it, like horrible decorations. And it had a beating heart for a star at the top of it. You saw that there were 7 Whos that were in a circle, buried to their necks in the ground, roots having burrowed their way through their bodies, and seemingly have sucked a lot of the blood and the nutrients from them, like fertilizer. Now, you then convinced Robbie that the tree was ready to go to market, that he was going to sell a tree. And again, in his desperation, because you convinced him that you wanted to buy it, he finally acquiesced and got Sun to go and get you a bunch of, basically, he called them special tools, or like sigiled weapons, prepared weapons. And Sun brought back a bucket filled with axes that appeared to be and I didn't say this last time, but it would be a bucket that's actually filled with blood. And when you pull the axe out, it has a bunch of weird signs. The symbols on it match some of the writing in the Burgundy book. So you can kind of see them as a relationship there. Other people don't know. Then he's excited he was sent to sell a tree. Yeah. So how this
same
works.
Same designers.
How this works is I'm gonna let you decide how you want to start or approach this. Because as soon as you start this, things will go down. Robbie has no more meat, so he has no bucket of meat, but you guys still have a bucket of meat each. and you are about, like, let's say, no, not too far, like 30 feet. I always say 30 feet because that's like the standard TTRPG walking distance, but you're within distance that you could, yeah, I would say you'd probably have to, it would take you one turn, so you're 30 feet from the ring of heads, and then you would have to go another 30 feet to get to the tree itself.
Did we say we could identify the heads?
You could attempt to do that right now by going a little bit towards them, but they're pretty brutally mangled by the roots. So, but you don't know if they've got like clothes on or things underneath that maybe you could find.
Oh,
like,
it's full bodies.
Their full body is buried in the ground, and their neck is to their neck, so their head's the only thing exposed, and they're screaming obviously with their mouths agape. So if you can literally dig them up, maybe they would have some identification on them you could use. Right. But for now, you just see the dead bodies. Yeah,
oh, they're screaming, they're dead.
They're dead, but their mouths are agape because the roots have forced them open.
To sell a blood tree.
Yeah.
Home again, death sets you free.
So you hear Sun kind of run over. The only people who can't understand Sun, I think, is Sarah. Or is Valerie, because Valerie doesn't have a pine cone. But
I'm way too holy for that. You know?
Runs over, puts the blood axes like on the ground and just goes, "Yay, Dad, we're going to sell a tree. This is our father. We're going to sell a tree. This is great. Are you excited?" And you see Robbie just like sobbing but smiling, going, "Yeah, this is going to be real great. I'm so excited."
Okay, so question. Like, is the son not aware? Well, I don't know how the son's whole thing works, but like, is the son not aware that like the tree... Because like the tree is related to the son. I feel like if the tree goes, the son goes. Maybe, I don't know, but like... Shouldn't the son...
You get the sense maybe he doesn't know. Like mom just said we are connected to the tree. We feel the tree.
I don't think that they have any idea really how it works. I think his whole job is to like... They keep him in the dark about all this, and his job is to basically just tend to this and know as little as possible. Yeah. Which is why when we told him all this stuff, he like doesn't know, and he just believes that we're working for the... Know. He knows nothing. He's very illusion. He's very propaganda.
Okay, so do we cut the tree? Was the cursed, scripted bloody axes?
I was told that you have to use the special axes to cut the tree, and then that will like be ready for harvest. But we're supposed to harvest it technically during the final days, the celebration. We're doing it early because you said it's ready. So
we'll it's ready. You've been so good with it, with everything you've done with this whole with the tree and the entire farm here.
Isn't it the final days though? Aren't we days from Christmas?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, we're only five days from Christmas. Oh, it's true.
And logistically, I mean, just to move it during in 24 hours would be unrealistic. Oh, so we've had to push it up. To now anyway. Yeah. So it's just perfect that it happens to be in at harvestable state.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, okay.
Well, let's get to it, I guess.
Okay, so we're taking an axe. We got an axe for everybody. And he pulls this axe out of the bucket of blood. It's dripping.
You wouldn't happen to have a rag, would you?
Holy Spirit!
Because it's quite slippery on the handle there.
You see he pulls a dirty rag from his back pocket.
I use this for everything. It's my lucky rag. It's like
wipes it. It doesn't even absorb anything anymore.
It just covers it in grime.
I'd hate to see the unlucky one.
Yeah, the unlucky one is in the room. Anyways, here you go.
Gives it to you completely greasy.
Blurf.
Yeah.
Well, you got what you wanted. You know what I mean?
You can just grab it with blood on it if you want. Fucking of course.
Fine. We are made of blood.
You want it wiped too?
Are we made of blood?
Yeah, you go.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You want it wiped?
No.
Okay, here you go. It's just slightly oily.
I'm like,
You're like, I know how this works. This is just corn syrup and dye. Yeah.
Donald is like,
Are there any hoosty eyes we should be aware of? Like, you know?
I don't think so. Donald takes his gun and then takes an axe, but it has his gun.
Yeah, we don't have any open wounds or anything.
Well, I do probably.
Yeah, you have an injured shoulder still.
I've got no open wounds. I've got 8 HP.
You pick up an axe, I assume, as well, Sarah? Or do you keep your pistol?
Oh, Sandra.
Sandra. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to take an axe.
Okay, Sandra.
Okay. You got your axe.
Chopping.
You got your pistol. Now, obviously, right now your non-dominant hand would be pistol, so you'll have a less, you'll have a penalty for using pistol if you're using it with the axe.
So, where do we? Where should we start? Should we start by the the base there, or so by the roots? Or
we gotta go to the ring of heads.
Okay.
And you're gonna, it gets a little spicy when you get around there. So just keep your meat with you, and if it comes for you, you're just going to have to...
Beat that meat to them, you know?
Well, it's going to... Just give it the meat, okay? Oh. And then if you don't have any
You don't have to ask me twice.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know how... You're an expert arborist, right? You know how this works. I know how this works, too, and I'm not scared at all.
Why would you be scared? This is exactly what we've all been waiting for.
Yes, I'm committed.
You're committed.
I want you to know that I'm 100% committed.
Well, I'm happy you said it because
we needed 110.
I wasn't quite sure
up until
this point how committed you were.
I'm so committed.
It seems like you hadn't quite dedicated yourself to the whole cause yet up until right at this moment.
Yeah.
This is your proof to me that you care.
Do you need...
About the mission.
Mission. Yeah, I can prove it to you. He pulls an axe.
It's like well, then keep chopping, you know? Okay.
So make the first cut there.
Yeah, and why don't you show us the right way?
Yeah, it'll get a bit spicy, so it's going to kind of go, but we got to get like a couple hits in, and then if you get the hits in, then it should fall down.
Will it hit back?
Oh, definitely if you don't got any meat on you.
All right.
Okay.
Well, that's good
thing we have that meat on us.
And we've got plenty of meat.
Now, I'm pretty sure that Foghorn Leghorn here right now.
Foghorn Leghorn.
I'm pretty sure that you're going to need to keep the axe well.
All right.
If it grabs you... Just
let Sorry, I'm still thinking you as a fucking chicken rooster.
If it grabs you, don't panic. Don't panic. Give it some meat. If you don't have any meat, someone else has to get you out of there fast because it's going to drag you into the ground, okay? And then you're there and it's hard to get you out. So just like quick, fast, do your job. Go.
Well, when you say that we're there in the ground, we can be dug back out.
Oh yeah, if we get the tree cut down. Otherwise, it's gonna probably hurt a little bit.
Oh, all right. All right.
I saw what it did to a deer once. It just sort of, and then it was like a crush, and it was real bad. So you know, we don't want that to happen to you guys, because you're part of the company. We know.
Absolutely. VIPs. We are not replaceable.
No.
No.
Not like my fam.
No.
I tell myself that every morning in the mirror, five times.
My dear boy.
Not like son.
My loving wife.
He looks at his son and just like. Again, you see this torn look of what have I done, but can't think about it because it's too hard. So he's like, okay, so we're just going to get the axe and we're going to go. Okay, everyone ready? We're going to start moving?
I'm very ready. Yes.
Okay, so how this will work is you will walk forward, essentially get to the ring, and then initiative will come into play. So dexterity-wise, what is all, again, your dexterity scores?
60
and
45.
So basically currently
that's why I'm allowed to dual wield.
Yeah, currently the fastest dexterity is Sun, who has a dexterity of 80.
Yeah, because he was fucking crawling on walls and shit.
Crawling on walls.
So that makes perfect sense.
Under him is Sandra, then it is going to be probably Robbie, because he's still like, you know, he's crazy, but he is constantly outside working on things. Can wield.
And he's drinking tea.
He's drinking tea, and then we'll probably have Valerie with the driver same time. And at the bottom is Donald, because actually Donald is going to be a little higher up. I guess Donald will be above at the same time, like right after Sandra, Purdy, right after Purdy. So just for myself, I'll write this down. So you walk towards the edge, the ring of heads. And Sun passes past them, basically steps like just past the ring. He's right inside the ring of heads near the tree. And nothing seemingly happens. Sandra, do you step past the ring of heads?
I'm going to wait on Robbie.
Okay. Robbie steps past the ring of heads, and also nothing happens. But he continues walking.
I step in.
So Donald and Purdy can go first, and then it would be Valerie and
Joel. No, bitch. You wait for your turn.
Do you want to wait?
I go in.
Because Purdy and Donald can also wait.
Well, hold on. I'm at 45, though.
Yeah, Donald's right above you, but he's going to wait for you. Because he's watching you, because he's basically protecting the book.
Okay. All right, Donald. Let's come on now with me.
Okay. And I assume that you're like kind of split up a little bit, so you're not all in one like spot. You're split.
And are we just like, we're just staring, I guess, at the heads?
Yeah, you're staring at the, you're walking past the heads, and you see that.
Hi there. We're just passing through or not?
Do a spot hidden as you look at them as you're going by. All of you can do a spot hidden as well.
Ooh, 18. Wait, hold on. Spot hidden.
I got a 41, which isn't quite my half, but it's still a success.
I'm like perfect for 18. No, I have like 75 for spot hidden.
So I got 65, which is no good.
No, not for you. So Purdy doesn't notice, but Sandra and Valerie,
I know.
You see as you kind of go by the heads that the two heads that are kind of, you know, you're going between their heads, those heads kind of turn slightly as you're walking past them. Then,
just like a good portrait.
Yeah. Then as you step
the haunted mansion,
Donald and the ride. Like essentially Donald.
That ride that I enjoy so much.
Guys, we should chop those heads off, I swear to God.
You could try. So Purdy, you step in, Donald goes first because he's, you know, wanting to make sure you're okay. As soon as he steps in and you follow, we now have the tree entering the equation. Now, Donald has got his gun and an axe. So as he steps in, he is basically holding... Actually, he doesn't have his gun because he has to hold the meat. So he's holding his bucket of meat. And
now you need at least one hand to hold your meat.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's going to be the first one who is facing the ire of the tree. He steps past the ring and he has the axe and the bucket of meat. The roots come up and they literally burst out of the ground and attempt to grab Donald as soon as he steps past the ring. In this instance, the roots miss him. He dodges out of the way. He's able to get out. But in this moment, he's going to, of course, try to fight. So what actually happens is he doesn't use dodge in this instance. He tries to use fight, and he takes the axe and he swings wildly. So the root basically like tries to grab him. He swings with the axe, loses balance, and spins in a wild circle. And the root misses him, and he also misses the root with the axe as well. But then he yells, "Protect Purdy! The roots, they're alive!" He's like panicking. And Purdy, you step past, and nothing comes towards you.
What's the big deal? What's going on?
Valerie and the driver, do you wish to...
Oh, I'm going in.
Very strange. What's going on?
I'm going... I don't believe in no cool... Well, actually, I do believe in... Wait, what the fuck?
Meanwhile, you're like saying a prayer as you...
So Valerie, you step in. Please, Sandra, or please, Cindy Lou.
Give us each day our daily bread. Our daily candy.
Our daily roast beast. So you step in. And both you and the driver, because it has enough roots available to target both of you as soon as you step in too, it's going to make...
The tree racist?
It's going to fight you and the driver. It's going to make...
Oh, I'm going to fight back?
So you can
I'm going to fight back?
Yeah, you can fight with fight or you can dodge. If you fight with fight and you fail, it could have a negative effect. Like there could be some damage that's dealt to you.
Oh, I'm fighting back. Girl, I might dodge is so shit. Yeah. Both options are kind of bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so I fight back, right? Okay, guys. Oh, 17. Whoa. It's actually below like middle, so it's 40 to 28. So
you get a double, like a higher success than this thing. It passed. It is under its 50, but it's not under half.
But
so
you
take your axe and you're able to like slap it, basically slash it out of the way. And
God's will, motherfucker! Like
you see that the axe, you'll actually know the damage of the axe now that you've done this. So the damage you would deal, though it doesn't matter in this case, but it is 1d8 plus. One plus your damage bonus, which for you is minus one, so it's basically 1d8. And you
wait. How do you know it's minus one?
Because you have a low size score, and your age. You also have a damage bonus reduction. I think your damage bonus is
listed there. Minus one. Yeah.
So you clip this root, and you actually cut into the past the bark of the root itself. As you do so, it sprays blood all over you like an artery, just as you cut spurting. Into it. And your beautiful nun tabard is Dexter. Just covered in blood. all over. The driver
worth it.
Attempts to dodge, so let's roll this Yo, thing
don't
attacking
you fucking dare, my sweet pie.
They both fail, which basically means the same thing, where he is dodging and he kind of like, the best way to describe it is the root tries to go from, it hits him, but he doesn't like, it doesn't get purchased. He's able to kind of like shimmy like enough out of the way.
Falls on the floor, so
yeah, before it grabs him fully. And that's that one. Next one to go, because you waited, would be Sandra. So Sandra, are you going to go in
Sandra
after?
Sandra sees the shit show, like turns around, leaves.
Yeah.
Bye. Oh, fuck. We don't have a car. All right. You have my axe.
You're going to step in?
Yeah.
Okay, so you step in, also going into the ring. You're kind of all scattered around the ring as you go in. And it has one more available route that it can swing at you because it has four at a time that it can basically swing at different targets. So the first route is going to swing. Please use fight or dodge.
Dodge. I failed. 57. I needed 50.
It succeeds. You got a 33 under its 50 for Dang. Fight. Because you have a bucket of meat. It wraps around you. It's coiling around you looking for meat purchase. You actually notice that at the tips of these roots, there are tiny little mouths with like proboscises that like split in and out that probably send digestive juices into your body.
Gross.
But it smells the meat bucket. And so the roots kind of ignore you initially, go to the more obvious open wound of like open blood and just kind of go in there and rip the bucket out of your hands and sinks it directly underground. So you have one defense.
So bucket's
this.
Gone.
But your right. bucket is gone. If you get targeted, if you get hit again, you'll probably be wrapped up.
That's what we
and
call
how
a
much
bucket
does the,
bucket.
The bucket last normally. Like we can't just one use. We can't throw meat and like have it grab that.
You
rather.
Can attempt to use the meat to distract like if someone's grabbed. So if someone gets wrapped in a root, you can use some of it. And I'd probably say that you'd have to use like half of it, but the second someone's hit, like all the meat will just get consumed.
Yeah.
So you have a little bit of extra use if you're just using it for distraction purposes.
Okay. So you're proactively distracting versus a defensive, like it's like a shield otherwise.
Yeah. But Sandra, that means you do have a turn to do what you want because you can now continue to the tree since it just took your meat bucket instead.
What was it? What kind of meat? Did we ever determine what kind of meat that
was? It was animal meat. They at the time, he said it was
animal meat. Oh, yeah. Okay. What kind of animals are there here?
There's
Hoobies.
There's some escaped Hoobies that have repopulated the wild.
There's
some deer, like a little bit of small deer.
Okay.
Some rabbits, some small animals. Alpine animals, but nothing just competes with the sheer calorie density of a Who Beast. So what would Sandra like to do now that you have your meat bucket gone and you notice this thing has proboscises or proboscises and it's
proboscoi
I don't know proboscoi on it.
I mean, obviously what I'd like to do is run screaming, but there's nowhere safe to do that, so let's
can't even say prosthetic.
You can run to the side of the tree because it's not too far to get there and try to use the axe.
All right, yeah.
Take a swing.
A run for it.
Okay. You run to the edge. You see Sun is there and he's clapping for you and he's like, oh, this is going to be great. Enjoy the tree cutting ceremony. I've heard it's some, my father says it's one of the best things that a person could ever do. It brings joy and keeps you young. And he just starts rambling
help
as you're
us.
About to.
Child, help us. I asked the child to help us. Child.
He looks at you. I am. I brought the bucket. Points at the bucket with one axe in it.
Maybe you can get more meat. Take a swing.
So this will be a fighting. You can use brawl
Sandra's
or
going to take a swing.
Axe in this case. It cannot dodge. So you just have to get a success. And then you'll roll damage.
Fuck me. I got an 80.
Do you have luck 80? Or something? Can you use luck?
80 is pretty hard because your fight is pretty... What's your fight?
50.
Okay, so you could spend 30 luck
bro.
If you wanted
no.
to.
No.
So you just... Oh, you take the axe, you swing. Brutal. You see that you hit the bark, and the bark bleeds, but you don't get enough of a purchase. You don't swing hard enough, or you're just like struggling because of your wound on your shoulder. And
why were you carrying the axe in the wrong arm?
Well, he's using both.
You gotta use both hands for that.
It's still like bang. And
I thought you had. I thought didn't Sandra have a gun in her hand?
Well, I guess you need to have it. Not in your hand anymore.
Sandra has a quiet vision of being like, why'd you send, or her boss being like, why'd you send a girl to cut down a tree? Wound in her shoulder. She's having trouble because of a different wound.
You hear,
can't inflict an axe wound if you got an axe wound.
Yeah. Literally just the Willy Whopper, just being like, you stupid, go do your parking tickets. And you continue swinging, but
that's now's about perfect time for a dust pop. Yeah. Just shoot it. Can you shoot it?
You can try, but that'll be on your next turn.
Oh, I feel like you'd be better shooting it than hitting it.
Robbie's next. With the axe. And Robbie's going to kind of walk over and be like, that's a good first try, you know? So the idea is to... He starts demoing it for you because he's a little out of
Swing with the torso?
Yeah, so you get low, and you get your
ready
ready position, and your abs are tight, and your butt is clenched, and you hold the axe.
Abs are tight.
And you just swing it like this. Like, you know, like you're going to go for a nice game of golf. And he just, like, swings at it. He'll make an attack to try and...
Robbie, have you ever played golf?
He looks at you betrayed.
Robbie, I'm pretty sure everybody's butt clenches the moment you start speaking.
What? The trees don't have butts, so that doesn't matter.
You never looked creatively at a tree, I can tell.
He rolled an 11, which is pretty good. Yeah, because that's a 10 and an 11. Oh, no, he didn't roll an 11. How does this work? This is a 10 and a 10. It's a D10. It should be 0, 1. It's a 10 and a 100. It's 100.
It's a... Why? It should be 0000. No.
Wait, 10 inside of 100?
If we hop back into this randomly in the middle of some yelling, we have figured out exactly what that roll supposed to be. We rolled two D10s. We found out that two 10s should equal 100 because the actual physical dice allow it, but the digital ones are confusing. So we will go with this is 100. And the reason why is I think it's more interesting.
Could you imagine if it had been a critical success? Yeah. Now it's the opposite.
Now it's a fail, which is bad for Robbie, for you guys particularly in this moment.
But it's a good, Robbie, we can consider this like an Eldritch thing where we saw both things happen at once. What would have happened if
he's a timeline
split?
That'd be great.
So in one, Robbie's really great and he crits and it's really cool. In this one, he
everything works out fine for Robbie.
He goes back, tries to show you how to do it, and he hasn't done it like well in a long time. So he totally just like pulls his back. He's just like, and he just drops the axe.
You redcond it?
Like a golf swing. It's a bad baseball swing. Instead of moving his weight from his hind foot to his front foot, he does the reverse and consequently goes spinning.
He does the Happy Gilmore. He takes two steps and he falls on his ass.
He like pulls. Yeah, he hurts his back and he swings. The crit part of this is not the hurt back necessarily, even though it does make it harder for him to swing at the tree. The terrible thing for him that he notices is as he swings to hit the tree, fails, hurts his back, like fumbles the axe a bit, and just sort of clips a little bit off of the bark. He notices that because the tree has been you attempted to strike the tree before, and there was a little bit of a nick of the tree and a little bit of blood kind of leaking around his son's sort of like neck on his twig body. There's a little drip of blood. And you see the son is like,
does he notice?
You're doing great, Dad. And he notices and he starts to panic. He's like, wait, everybody stop. Son's bleeding. And he just like immediately is now hobbling to him. So that's his crit, is he's kind of noticed something is wrong.
Robbie, well I think it may just be some of the splatter. What do you say? It's an aortal splatter that might have...
Aortal splatter.
might have just sprayed and splashed us.
You think? Are you okay?
Of course.
No, I think he's fine. Look, I think it's just a little back spray.
Let's swing again and... See, you know, it's a theory hypothesis.
Swing this time.
Swing a little harder this time.
Okay, your back hurts. Okay, we'll do it. We'll do it for you.
I haven't failed at everything else as he can swing at Robbie.
Established that Sandra's a fucking psychopath. Swing at the same time on like 1, 2, 3.
I mean,
you know?
Donald takes an axe and just yells and goes, just like runs and desperately starts swinging at himself.
Oh my God. I'm Batman, you know.
I'm Batman. He actually got a 26. His fight's terrible.
Wow, he's actually...
His fight's like 30.
Contributing.
But oh, shit. Okay.
He succeeds. So that's enough to hit it, which means he'll deal damage, which is going to be a D8 plus 1. And then he has no size reduction here. He needs to do a certain number. Holy shit. He did way above because he got an 8. So he gets 9 damage. And you see that as he hits it, this is when the bark... Yeah, basically, like, the bark gets split. The bark gets split. You hear a wee wee wee, and then blood flies everywhere, all over him. He's drenched in blood, and he's like gasping and breathing heavily. Robbie looks to his son, who you just see around his whole body, just blood spray outwards. And then he looks at his dad and says, "It's okay, Dad. You're selling a Christmas tree." And he just starts crying.
This is fucking heartbreaking.
Take an L, girl.
And he goes to his knees. Now take an L, girl.
He's cut his head off.
And just take the L.
And then Purdy, it's your turn. What is Purdy gonna do? It's your turn. You see, well, Donald strikes
it. I'm gonna pat Donald on the back. What an incredible job.
Coward.
Thank you.
No, I'm gonna take a big axe, and I'm gonna go, I need to finish what we started here. And okay, also, it'll be better for him. I'm just telling myself it'll be better for Robbie for him to face reality here. Yeah. and just hopefully try to repair what little he can of his life, reclaim his life back.
Yeah. Okay, you swing your axe, make a fight.
Not live in denial.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna.
Life he's got left.
Reinforce his delusion here. Yeah, his poor guy. It's okay. Well, I think that after this, we can. I have book powers that I think I might be able to help
get us
him
a bath.
No, I'm just saying I can give a little sanity to save this poor man after this is done.
I asked ChatGPT to like write funny responses to this situation, like what if, like what Nam would say, and the responses are one less mouth to confess, hold this L child.
Hold this L child.
I prayed for your protection, not my fault. You were on mute. I'm like, what the fuck?
I thought you were on mute. I mean, you are. He is on mute to you. You can't hear what he's saying.
How he lived mid L, like what mid the L.
Mid L.
Make a fight check if you're gonna swing your axe.
Under 10.
An 8 is amazing. Roll a d8 plus, in this case, plus your damage bonus, which is plus 1 as well. Sorry, so plus 1 plus damage bonus. You need to get a 4 or higher.
I rolled a 1.
Yeah, so you strike it.
Can I luck anything?
On this not roll? With damage. Damage you can't increase. So
fuck,
you.
Why did I get the dull one? Why is my fucking axe so
what
dull?
What I will say is you rolled so high, I will give a bonus die to the next person who strikes it because you don't get enough damage with your strike to actually cleave more.
Okay,
of
let
the
Mama
tree,
try. Mama wants
but
to
you, like,
take a swing.
Weaken the bark a little bit.
Okay.
In that place.
All right. So I debar, I skin it.
Wait, what
but
if
I
ram?
Quite get
what
in
if? Wait, why do I need to use an axe? What if I ram it with my boobs? You know,
can
like,
try.
Just, like brute do force. It. You know, smash
I think
it.
We're trying to get it to bleed, not you.
You should totally run in a pokey pine tree covered in blood and viscera with your boobs
and with the softest part of your body.
Oh, honey, that's no, that ain't the softest part of my body. You know what I mean?
What?
Now I my can't aunt possibly imagine what that is that you're referring to.
What is the softest part of this done?
Go ahead. Hey, you want to ask ChatGPT what it is?
No.
What's the softest part on this nun's body?
Anyway, so wait, is my turn? Can
you,
I roll?
Yeah, you can roll.
Yeah,
it
okay,
is
wait,
going
wait,
to be Valerie.
12.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
shit.
Again, like below my like yeah, the mid one.
So you
really
have to
good
roll a d8.
Still would have been way better if plus we'd both been able to do
actually
damage on it.
Roll a d10 because you had a bonus die to reduce that number further. If
a
you get
5.
Okay, it's not a crit. You're still only at 7, which you need to be like 5 or less, basically. So roll a d8, and I'll give
oh,
you.
Oh, you need to,
wait,
you need
wait,
to roll
wait,
lowly? Low?
Wait, do I roll?
No, so I'm saying with the d10 reduction. Oh, this roll
it's
into
for
the
damage.
I rolled the d10. I rolled a 5 on it.
Yeah,
d10.
So it reduces to hit. So your to hit fight roll is reduced by 5. The reason I say that is if you got a crit, then I would
oh, I
the
see
damage would just automatically.
And now
succeed.
I need to roll.
But didn't you roll
now
a 12 though on just a hit though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but you already hit it.
Yeah, it's already hit. So now
I know,
you roll
but
a
we're
d8
dealing damage. Though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay
so
okay,
d8
I
plus
see,
1.
See, see.
2 to 3.
3. That's not enough.
I know.
You clang and are unfortunately able. But again, you hit, so it's going to become easier. The next person gets 2 bonus dies to try and hit.
Oh my gosh.
So
we need to roll what higher than
4 or higher?
Out of 8.
Oh, out of 8.
So you can damage the thing.
Yeah, but there's a plus bonus.
Oh my god, just to damage it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't have -1.
You do as well. So actually,
it would have been even. Yeah. But like, you know.
The driver runs forward and is going to swing with an axe too. He's not the best at fighting. He'll
come
try.
On. My on, driver,
Ussi, I believe in him.
Take us home.
He rolled a 73, which is a fail. So he just like,
God. Even we're going to have no D10. Fucking meat buckets.
And everyone's lower back is going to be fucking cracked
not enough.
For the end of this.
You know, everybody, you know, you're basically just a meat bucket, right? Yeah, we're all just meat buckets.
So, Donald, Valerie, and the driver are both attacked by the roots again. Sandra, you are too, but it missed. So, basically, only Donald and Valerie and the driver have to do a dodge or a fight check. So, I'll roll for Donald.
I swear to God, I'm not even fucking... Like, what are those rolls? I wrote a perfect 8.
Whoa.
And I need an 8. Like, I'm not...
That's good because it got a super success on you, so you need to get a super success
but I'm
to
super success.
Yeah, so then it equals out. Okay, so
Donald, we're just surviving but not thriving.
So like the most epic attack ever from the tree, and the most like epic dodge
it's like,
defense.
It's like Naruto
ever.
And Sasuke.
Yeah,
you
just
know?
A blood, yeah, exactly. Going at just a puff other. Of air or yeah, something yeah. like that. Just like a, just
clone
a glancing
jutsu,
blow.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Donald also equals the value, so he got a success as well versus 1 success. But the driver fails because he gets 1 success versus 2 a super success.
Home.
So you see the driver
won't be pleased.
Get, like,
takes his
in,
like or... takes an axe and yeah, basically gets wrapped up in a root. And the same thing happens. The little proboscis on the edge of it is looking for something. He has a bucket of meat, so it absorbs the meat and just sucks it into
Does
the ground.
Does it leave it him?
He's okay, but because he had that bucket. Then at the end, because you're all past the circle of heads, you notice something also upsetting and concerning. The ground shakes a little, and you see from the earth, wrapped in these sort of ingrained roots, the 7 bodies of the Hoos come out of the ground and are basically covered in roots, but are zombies. And they begin to shamble towards the center of the tree.
Oh, that's... I mean, maybe they can help us cut the tree. I don't know. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Maybe. Maybe these guys.
Maybe we can give them good benefits and, like, you know.
So, son is bleeding, looking at his dad and going, "No, father, it's okay. I just feel horrible pain all throughout my body. But I'll be fine. You're selling a Christmas tree." And you see that Robbie is having a hard time. But Sandra... It's back to you. You dodged one of these things that came at you. You were able to get out of the way of it before it could strike you. So we'll see what you do next.
Take another swing at the tree.
You're all in a big circle around the tree, desperately chopping.
I feel like the zombies won't last long if the tree's dead. 51.
Is that not a success?
Not a success.
Do you want to burn luck?
Yes, I will burn 1 luck.
Okay. You do succeed then. Roll damage.
3?
3 plus 1. So it's 4, so just enough.
Let me just check my math.
Let me pull the...
Give me 15 minutes while I run the numbers again.
You strike it, and it bleeds even more. You see that, again, Sun's body starts to actually break a little bit. An arm piece falls off of his body, and Robbie starts desperately crying. He looks at you, Sandra, and he goes, "Wait, no, stop. I don't know if I could do this. We should wait." And he goes and now intercedes and steps in front of you.
Robbie, it's like this is the first time you've killed your own family.
I didn't kill them. I put them in the room so that they would calm down, and I just lost track of time. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm committed to the company.
I hear you, Robbie. But you are describing killing your family.
No, it wasn't my fault. It was only a week.
He starts just breaking down. You realize what happened a little bit. And
at least I think it was a week.
And then it is going to be Donald's turn. Donald takes his axe, is going to desperately just swing.
I believe in you, Donald. You did so well last time. Channel that same energy.
Thanks. He succeeds on a hit, so he does hit once.
Man, does anyone have like a Molotov? I'm a good support. Or
my lord, he got a 9.
I'm a good fucking cheerleader, is what I am. That's amazing. Good for him. He deserves it. He needs a win. He doesn't need another L in his life.
He's swinging so wildly, he's just screaming. He's like, "Die, you stupid tree for party!"
And
he
should have given him an axe a while ago.
Yeah,
instead of frothing,
like this man found a passion.
That is his turn, and Purdy, it's your turn. Now you know that if you don't get this tree down soon, all these zombies are going to reach you, and then there's 7 zombies and 4 roots. So this is like
a lot. Well, I have no option. I have to swing.
Okay.
I go try, right? Take it out. I'm over, way over. But I could use a ton of luck.
There's other people who go after you. You've got 2 more options.
Off my luck.
What did Graham use the extra dice that he was supposed to get for
I guess you would get one more extra dice because that was carrying over one more time. One person else got a super success.
So
you can keep that luck and you just would use that because we only need one more, right? So you would always succeed. And keep that luck.
Okay.
And then it's just like what will Purdy, did you roll? You rolled not high enough?
I didn't roll high enough, but I was just thinking if there's an extra dice. But I think I'll just swing and miss.
You hit it, but there's just too much blood, and like you actually notice as you hit it.
I'll hold
like,
that L for you.
Yeah, hold that L for you. You hit it, and you pull your axe out, and it quite sickeningly sounds like you're cutting into
meat. Have the dull axe? What is that? Was it been sitting in blood too long? Or was it sitting in blood not long enough?
Yeah, who knows? Valerie is next. Oh, you can attempt
My new boyfriend, soon to be, that doesn't know about it, is like free, right? Like...
He's currently free. He just lost his meat.
I can work without his meat. You know, it comes to work. But I'm going to, attack the tree again.
About love.
Yo, 15. Okay. I swear to God. Like, those rolls are, like, now, all of them are, like, below 20. Like, what's happening?
Yours is the hardest one because you have a -1. So you have to make sure you roll high enough. But conceivably get a little more.
Do you need to roll a 10? You remember you told me to roll a 10?
That was for because the other hit was a super success for somebody.
Okay, D8, so. Oh, fuck, a 4, so 3. Okay.
Clang, you're not strong enough.
Yeah,
you're
not strong enough.
The driver will attempt his final attempt here. He got a 17, so he actually hits this time. And you see he's going to roll damage. He also has a -1 because he's older. He got a 2. So he also clangs. And he's like, I'm meant for driving. I'm not meant for cutting down trees. And then it goes to the end. So we've got a few things to deal with here. Some zombies are going to come in. So there's 7 zombies. And they're going to kind of come and attack people in pairs. But they will ignore, once again, Purdy, Robbie, and Sun. So that means that I will just... put some attacks here.
So they were, because obviously I wasn't even looked at by the faces. So it's like, it's almost like I'm not there.
Yeah.
That's how I can
tell. It's almost
like
maybe your connection to the book, which was maybe connected to the tree, is
doesn't see me as the same threat.
So
maybe that's why I can't fucking hit it. I can damage this shit.
You're too imbued with the power. Okay. So
it's like, I really want to, but I just can't. Bad RNG. Myself.
First zombie attacks Sandra and misses. Second zombie attacks Sandra and misses. They're not the best at fighting. They're just trying to clamber onto you. And they're getting in the way. 2 will try to grab Donald. And they will also miss. 1 will actually get a critical failure. So Donald will just like slap it in the face with the axe. And just be like, get the fuck away from me. Just angrily. And then it is going to be 2 more that can go towards Valerie. They're pretty low on their fight score, so they're failing. And then 1 against the driver, which misses. So they're just like clambering the zing. If they kept trying to grab you, they could try to maybe do it. But they're just clogging the space at this point. And then 4 roots are going to go again. So 1 root will attempt to grab Sandra. It will successfully grab Sandra because you don't have a meat bucket anymore. 1 will attempt to grab Donald and fail. 1 will attempt to grab Valerie and fail.
Hey.
And 1 will attempt to grab the driver and succeed. I'll get 2 success. So actually, Sandra, 1 success against you. Roll a dodge or fight to try and resist. The driver, he fails. So the driver gets grabbed.
My dodge and fight are the same, so it won't matter. No, come back. I was looking at my history. I have rolled once below 50 on a D. There we go, 32.
Okay, so you get one success and it gets one success, so you're fine. So what happens here is the driver will get wrapped up. You can use the meat to try and distract it on your turn, but that's your full action instead of attacking the tree. The driver's wrapped up and starts to get pulled down. Then it is back to the top. Sun, bleeding, puts his bony twig hands on his father's like shoulder, goes over to him and looks concerned. Valerie can't hear this, but the two of you who can hear the voice of, again, this sort of young child go, "Father, father, it's okay. I'm here to fulfill your dream. I'm here to make it so you can sell a Christmas tree. Please, please, father, sell the tree." And Robbie is inconsolable in this moment as he desperately holds the remains of his son.
If you really loved your fake son, Robbie, you would try and kill the tree for him.
She said what she said. And
you see, oh, right, sorry. Shady. If you really loved your fake son, Robbie, you would try and kill the tree for him.
He's not fake, and I just don't want to lose him.
And he's just struggling. You could probably calm him down maybe after this, but for now, he's just out of it. Donald is next and is going to berserker mode again because he's just hitting crazy hard.
So he has been.
And he hits again and he rolls a 7. So you see that
Holy smokes.
Donald covered in the blood.
Yo, Donald's MVP. He's the main character.
God. I will never shit on you behind. I mean, I am so proud of you and how far you've come.
He swings the axe and with a crack and a visible, like an audible scream from the tree itself, which is upsetting. You hear the thing as it falls onto the ground itself. The roots wither and stop moving. The bodies fall to the ground, limp. Specifically, the driver is still wrapped, but you can now peel away the roots. And the blood on the tree just starts to pool around it, but it's no longer animate or moving. And the heart that was at its top like a star actually just stops beating and then shrivels up and dies. And then you see Robbie crying because the sun, this little bundle of sticks and bones, caresses his kind of touches his face as his body starts to fall apart. And he goes, "See, Father, you did it. You sold the Christmas tree. You sold Christmas tree." And his pinecone heart cracks.
So proud of his dad.
And all the pinecone hearts that you have crack in on your person. Robbie, sobbing, just keeps saying,
It wasn't my fault. And it's going to be a good year, right? How much is the tree going to be worth? What am I do now? Tell me what to do, please."
And he's desperate for any sorts of direction. He's basically a broken man at this point.
You guys, can we leave him? Do we need to, like, no, Pa, he's my dog, him?
Should I bring him to church? Like, I don't know, like...
I need to call. I know. When I get stressed, I'll reach out. I call.
Who do you call?
And he's going to...
I want to make sure he doesn't like call someone we don't want him to call. So I'll try to like...
Yeah, he's having a panic attack.
And like be like, "Talk to me. Like, I'm a licensed therapist."
"I need to speak to Audrey. I need to go to my support group. When I have a bad time, they help me feel good again."
Wait, hold on. Can we...
Audrey.
And you remember kind of a note from the notes he would send letters to that you picked up kind of without him noticing. There were some letters or like notes saying, "Call Audrey, call like this person."
Yeah. But they're not related. Like, did the notes indicate that she might be related to the company or...
You have no clue. It just says like, this is, you'd have to ask him.
I'm like, "Who's Audrey?"
When I was having a really rough time and my family was having a rough time with the farm, and I met this lady. Her name was Audrey, Audrey Bazoo, and her name's Cheerful. She goes by Cheerful, and she helped me feel met her again because she said I could, I'd be good and I would be cheerful. And it was a support group for people having a rough time around the holidays, and I went to a community center and I went there and she would help me out. And
did she get you to work with our company?
She told me to reach out to someone. Yeah, one of you guys. You didn't tell me that I would that they die.
Do you think I could? This is a time where I could use some magic on him to try to help
you
him.
You can attempt.
Should we try to just get some more information? Because I think I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, you can wait after a little bit first. But he's going to ask you the kind of uncomfortable question of like,
why didn't you tell me they'd die? You told me it would be fine, that the tree would just be, we'd sell it in the store. And
there was always a possibility. And
what? No one told me that.
We didn't tell you that.
Because we didn't know for sure. And we understood that it was a possibility, but the interpretation we had of the ancient documents suggested that there was a really good chance that they would survive. And the company's really sorry for your loss, but this wasn't...
why we have insurance.
Listen, we're going to sell that tree. Well, you can find a new wife.
We do offer really good twig golem insurance for people who've been with us for more than 3 years, and you've been with us for almost 3 years and would have had access to that insurance.
If we hadn't chopped it down 3 days earlier. No.
No,
but Robbie, we weren't even quite aware that your family had passed on, and that
I
maybe
thought you were because you guys gave me the page.
No.
It was when we arrived. We didn't know the state of the situation, and so at this point, it was already there's so many things in motion, and I think that we had.
So what do you want us to do? Not to cut down the tree.
There was no other option.
We
for
have
us
to
at
cut
this
down the
point
tree
in order to make. You know, make good on what the goal is, you know, to make it all worthwhile, you know, everything that we've gone through.
It's going
to
be worthwhile. Why is it going to be worthwhile? You got to tell me why. I'm having a hard time right now.
Yeah. Do you want to ask him for, do you need anything else from him or can I just cure him from this shit?
Go away! I'm about to shoot this man.
If you want the number for Audrey and like the
you're right. Yeah.
He gives you the name and he says,
Audrey was a part of this it's called the Christmas Cheer Support Group, and it meets in a community center. He gives you the address, and the church helps with it. Actually, it's really great.
Yeah, because my church is called the Church Our Lady's Perpetual Cheer, and I was like, is this related? But
yeah, she helps and I've seen a few nuns there.
Do you, by any chance, know a woman called Drivel Dalu?
I don't know Drivel.
Okay, good.
There's these two nuns. They're Sister Viridia, I think is her name. And she's got this little toady. I don't know her name. I think they calls her sister.
Those names are not here, by the way. But
that's okay, but you know them. Because Viridia is the one Drivel told you to work more directly with. She was like suggesting good things for the church was a younger sort of force in the church.
Okay. Anyway, well, I look at you. I'm like, hey, they're like Willy Wonka, whatever the fuck you are.
He's like, clutching the bones of his child, just like as he's looking at you crying.
Do your thing.
All right. I'm going to open up my book here. I'm going to say it's going to be all right. I promise.
It's gonna be a good year,
and then I'm gonna
it's gonna be a good year
forever. Okay. All right, I'm gonna use the Burgundy book here, and I'm gonna open it and wish for him and his family to be together again. I think this is what I want to do. Yeah, to alive in spirit, forever, evergreen, one family, one tree. To live together in a Christmas card for all eternity.
Oh, okay.
So they're all like as a family, where they're all there in this little pocket plane where they live on his mantle or whatever.
Okay.
So many ways that that could be like a punishment, but like
not for him. Not for him. No, not for him.
Please roll a pow roll.
It's not like he has anything left to live for.
No, I mean, all he wants for him. I feel like he's so gone in that he doesn't even know the reality of anything. That it's like to him that would just be like a regular every day where he just hangs out and he's putting lights on the Christmas tree with his
and like a perpetual Christmas time.
Exactly. It's always there. 32, which is below my I could go two luck and get it below my second.
It could be super success or it could be
I'll use two luck. Super success.
So you open the book. You begin to read a story that seemingly is being written out in front of you as you read it. It's almost like it's just fulfilling your desire, your wish, what you want.
Evergreen.
Yeah. A story about a family who finds the perfect
one
Christmas tree
never to be parted.
And you see that he's sort of crying. His eyes glaze over a little bit and he begins to smile as if he's in a very nice dream. And his body becomes visibly flatter and flatter and flatter. And then it shrinks. And in this kind of into the snow, you kind of peel away the snow a little bit. And in the bones of his child, because the bones are still there, you see him in an animated Christmas card with a beautiful real tree, his wife, his son, and just like a kind of a playable experience, his own little pocket house where he is now smiling and happy and has seemingly forgotten most of what has happened to him. You know that if he ever were to leave, that would no longer be the case. It's a blessing and a curse, but for someone like him who has literally lost everything, this is probably the best you could do without using your more miraculous powers, which could go bad.
I figured bringing people back is probably, let's just say that's without going into what
rife with problems.
Going into like what the historically has occurred when we do this, it's probably best to just
we could have also just shot him, but like I mean this is also an option.
Now importantly, because you did
exactly, let's just honestly,
this is a pretty
why
miraculous
are we even trying to solve anything here, huh? We just
okay. I'm gonna bring your son back. Just kneel down next to him, and close your eyes and lean forward a little bit and like really, really put your shoulders back and make your neck as long as you can, and you'll be with your son in a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Just immediately. Now I will say this is actually probably a miraculous thing because you are transposing someone into a little pocket dimension. So
I think it's pretty hard.
This is your like miraculous thing for the day.
Obviously, I'm not resurrecting his family. You know what I mean? And then that running that risk and all the care errors that can happen there. I'm just creating
nice
his dream world that for him to play in.
Yeah. It's more miraculous because it's not like a physical
and no one has
something.
To, you know, exactly. And like, I don't have to worry about like, oh, is their body functioning? They don't have to eat anything. They don't have to take care. They're just in, it's Christmas forever. It's this little loop.
Yeah.
That's fully enclosed.
Live it. So I'll just say that this will be, cause you rolled high enough. Let's make it 1d6 cause 1d6, it is still a miraculous thing you're doing.
Six.
Okay, so you lose six Christmas spirit just because did that.
Why did I say anything?
you're giving like some of your Christmas spirit to help him, which is a nice thing to do. And also because
you
use the book in this
Christmas
way,
spirit, that I'm way going you to create more.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you that you kind of unlock a knowledge about what else was in this book. Like you learn some spells that are in here that you could also maybe use.
I think telling stories with the book is probably a better way of doing it than trying to like.
Yeah.
Create reality, like trying to bend reality, because I feel like the bending of reality is like kind of how we get into this mess where things start to get awry and skewed and you invite all sorts of crazy dark energy as opposed to just creating little
moments of fleeting happiness.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And almost like sending somebody into a different plane is different from trying to bring shit out.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely. Yeah. And you kind of connect with the book deeper in this moment because you're using it a little more. You've now used it with more intention. You notice that there are a few things that kind of come into your brain. You notice a few words that speak out to you, and you can notice you actually will kind of get an understanding of some spells that are in there.
The N word.
You learn
the nuke, like nuke. It's the nuke, okay?
Nuke, no.
Well, no, it was reference, okay? To
it's
the
an
Trump
old book,
thing.
Okay? It's a very old book.
You learn that the book has in it. You can kind of find scattered throughout its
Tom
pages.
Tom Sawyer. Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, you can find three
and
spells.
And then the Burgundy Book.
The Burgundy Book. You can find three spells scattered throughout its pages. These are Enchant Knife, which you realize is the same spell used to make those daggers.
Oh, shit.
Green Decay, which is...
I know how the daggers are made.
Yeah. Green Decay and Mind Blast, which is
candy,
the spell that
blades.
The butler used from
Mind
his
Blast.
Fake book. Yeah, his fake book was Mind Blast. He used that to affect Donald and his sanity.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
As you are doing this and you put him inside this like card and you can now put him back in his house, you see Donald takes his gun and just like fires a bullet off into the tree. You're just like, just in case. Then you quickly realize it.
I'm surprised that he even
wait, so what do we do with the tree though? Like now we just have a huge tree that fell down, like got chopped.
And yeah,
like,
and it's not nice. It's covered in blood.
I don't know if we need it for anything. We're just glad it's dead.
There is a fear that I have that it can be re.
Wait, can you use your magic and
or
like,
used in some way?
Wait, can you use the magic and like put it in like a pocket dimension?
Oh yeah, let's just burn through my sanity. Why don't we? Let's just burn through my Christmas spirit. Yeah. You don't have that issue. I think we have to.
Can we burn it?
I think we're going to be better off if, yeah, if we try to like dispose of it. Cause I don't, whatever it's made of, I feel like there's probably some, maybe some value.
The driver
there.
Pulls out a yeah. lighter.
Cause you
and
can,
says,
cause the thing,
I
you can,
smoke.
You can.
Wait, the driver is like, he pulls out like a bunch of
like
alcohol
like, yes,
and lighter. And we're like, we could have done that the whole time. Like,
yeah. Like we did kill it, but also like you can chop a tree down and then like plant a yeah. sapling. Like you can kind of, you know, you can.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Propagate from it. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. The driver offers a lighter. He has a lighter because he smokes kind of casually. It's
oh,
not good
smoke?
For him. He looks at you and goes, yeah, I do. Also, I'm just having a moment here.
It's
sorry.
Not very healthy
could,
for you. You should maybe, you know, just think about it. Just
yeah,
think about it.
But I just have
but thanks for having the lighter.
Me, so. It's like, it's the next year.
We just fought a boss. He needs to have a cool, relaxing cigarette
make
to make his health bar
you can
bigger.
Put a pouch in.
I don't need to do this often.
Candy cane flavor.
This is going to be my way to
I can
handle
hold more ammo.
All right. And then, yes, you see that you're able to leave and bring the card back to the house. When you go back to the house, you'll notice that you can find more information about that cheer group, but you or like Christmas cheer group. But also, there's the trees, the roots that had pulled the car into the trees. If you just go a little bit into the trees, now the roots are no longer grabbing it. You see, it's covered in these roots, but they're peelable, so they can be removed from the.
Oh,
from
okay,
the
they're
car.
Like loose and okay, they're not.
Yeah, before then they would have
stuck
not gripping
it in
place.
It, yeah.
Now you can drive it out. And so for that reason, we shall ask you what you do next, because the driver sits, goes in the car, throws his like finished cigarette out. You've lit the tree.
Well,
also, you've lit
the
tree.
Well, that's not nice either. Now you're just littering.
I don't care. you see a bright blaze, like kind of in the night in
There's
the distance.
There's a lot of
where
dead trees out here. You know, I think that's probably unwise. You could start a forest fire.
He looks at the trees. He looks at his cigarette. He then aims it towards the trees. And he throws it in the snow. Damn it, I hit the snow. But you see a little like light in the distance where you started burning the tree, because I will say it lights up relatively quickly. And sizzles and pops like bacon, which is unfortunate.
Wow, it smells like bacon. It smells like morning ham, Christmas. It smells like green ham.
Yeah, no, it's awful. Wow. Ugh. In this situation, don't like it. You see Donald goes, okay, well, we did it. We stopped the first part.
Who ham?
Now we need to, oh, who ham, yes. I stopped it. We stopped the first part. Now we just have to stop the other part. The driver pulls the car out, and you're able to decide where you want to go next. So the driver says, okay, where do you want to go?
Okay, so we have two options, I feel like. We have the dad, your dad, as like a suspect.
Oh, my fucking
But then
God.
We also have this
How
weird
are you
fucking
even
cheer
suggesting
group,
that?
You know?
How are you? Yeah. Hey, maybe my dad's at the cheer group, huh? Maybe he'll be there.
I mean, you know your dad. I don't know.
Can kill two birds
okay,
with one stone.
Okay, do we go cheer room or do we drive by your house first? We can also drive by
your
house.
I don't
want
to kill my dad. if we can avoid it, I'd like to not kill
Girl,
my
he's
father.
Not, you're, he...
He's not my dad?
He's not really
Don't
your
tell
dad.
Me who I am. I have a lot to work through with my dad before I'm ready to kill.
You're yeah. not my dad. Sounds like something
okay,
a
well,
person
we can
who really
kill
wants
dad.
To kill their dad would say.
Yeah, yeah.
I can kill him for you.
You could do it. Other people could do it. Donald says, I could do it. And he spins his like oh bullet God. Cartridge on his gun.
Right. Well, Donald is like a full anime fucking like.
Let's. Why don't we try to track this cheer thing down? And then, I just feel like if my dad knows, he's got too many people that he can contact. He's got too much. He's got his hands on everything. I feel like I don't even know him anymore. I don't even know him as much as I thought.
You're like, do I have a dad?
I've never even met this man. I don't know. No, I think that, yeah, if we
father
don't
do figure as absent as my gag reflex.
Wow. that's an interesting
thing. Why don't you hold this L?
Yeah.
It's a W. What do you mean?
Why don't you
it's
hold this D?
No, hold this D. Okay, so the driver's takes the address and goes, we'll check out, I guess, the support group. I mean, they're just in a community center. Maybe they're there. It would be crazy if that were the case, but, you know, for our purposes, it would also be helpful.
Because if we try to contact my dad, I think he will... We'll lose the upper hand here at this point.
You do have security, probably. I do know who your father is, obviously. Anyone in the company, you know, the Huvier family knows.
And you
your father.
Just don't know who is double agent. You know, I think about like my butler too. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know who else to trust. There's nobody I think actually even at the house that I could trust.
So we'll go to the house and we'll shoot anyone we see who isn't your dad.
Well, the house is pretty empty, just staff, and then the mom has been like Purdy's mom has been gone for a week at her studio downtown.
But it's the staff we need to shoot.
I mean,
potentially
some.
But also, yeah. What's your mom doing at her studio?
She's designing arting it up.
The driver's like, I notice you guys sometimes code switch and use different voices when you're talking with each other and feeling like there's no one else around except that I'm still around.
We're just having fun. trying to take the edge off.
Yeah. The driver says, let's go stop by the community center and we'll see if anyone's there and then we'll go there. So you see he drives off, goes back down to the city. The community center in question is still in West Whoville. So it's in that part where closer to Robbie's kind of like house in that part of the town. There's a community center. It looks like a pretty like low income one, but it functions and it provides some services to the community in Crumpback Ridge. So it's kind of like Crumpback Ridge Community Center. And he drives your car, which has enough seats for everyone here. It's a big, big truck kind of vibe, or kind of like a van. Drives the van and brings it to just outside the community center and kind of parks in a parking lot that's adjacent to it. You do see on the community center, there is a big banner. The banner says, Welcome Christmas Cheer Support Group. And then it says, just sort of in a big, kind of colorful, bright Christmas colors. You see a person just looking at the door, like what looks like maybe a staff member or a volunteer, sort of handing like with some flyers, basically to see if anyone is walking by and they can give a flyer to. You see one who walks by with their dog, just like taking it on a walk, or miniature Hoobies, not a dog. It goes, Harry, and then they get a flyer and they just sort of continue walking. And they're like, ah, no, thank you, and then they keep going. But yeah, what do you want to do as you get parked? You see the driver's like, I'll stay here just so I can like boot it if you need to flee, get out fast. And Donald says, okay, let's go. Let's get blasting. He just like starts like spinning his gun.
Donald.
What?
No, like I look at you guys and I'm like, no, we got to approach this, you know, like in a very specific way. But like,
I'm so amped up though.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. Okay. Like forward, and I'll be like, hey,
you see the person with the sort of flyers, and
I've been meaning to ask you, what's this flyer for?
Oh my god, it's wonderful! Oh, another nun, welcome. Sorry, we just there's someone inside already, and
I know this is the first time. Breed.
Oh, another person. This is the most people who've talked to me all night.
The four of us, actually. We're four. Really interested.
It was four of us.
Oh, okay. Well, take a flyer.
Oh, well, thank
take a flyer.
You. Thank you so
can
much.
Can we come inside? You know?
Absolutely. The Christmas Cheer Support Group is open to everyone.
Is it
anyone.
Shoes on or shoes off?
Shoes on, I think. I mean, I'm not going to get upset.
Well, you don't have shoes on.
Oh, that's because I was just so happy and I'm homeless.
Oh, you don't own a pair.
But the Christmas Cheer Support Group is here to help. So
I'm homeless.
I volunteer and I'm gonna get into the I'll get shoes. because they're helping me out. They're really great, actually. In fact, there was a nun. Her name's Viridia.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Viridia. She We're said that I could buds. Go and just she's gonna go and get me a pair of shoes. Yeah, they're so nice.
When did she promise you that you'd get a suit?
Today.
Well, yeah. Let's go in and you know and see what's yeah. up.
Yeah, right. There's all free right, cookies and chocolate and
oh, there's cookies and chocolate, but there's no shoes for you.
Well, later. I'll get him later. I'm just walking, watching the door. All right. We're a little low on members today, I guess, because it's busy. You know, it's 5 days before Christmas. But Christmas cheer support, always here to help, no matter how bad your Christmas is going. So, yeah, come on in. They open the door and you basically walk into a community center with some other signs. You continue going and you find a room that is open, that has an open door. You can open that door, or the door is open and there's a sign that says Christmas Cheer Support Group. You walk in and you see what is essentially a giant circle of chairs. There's some people meandering, grabbing some snacks from a table, just different people. It looks like a lot of people who are just like having a harder time this holiday season. Maybe they can't buy as many presents. Maybe they're having like a rougher just season. Now you kind of get why Robbie may have come to this group at some point. And you see Viridia in the corner. She's got a pair of shoes and she's basically talking to someone and is trying to disengage from a conversation. A bunch of people there kind of see you. They've got name tags. They've written their names on it. You see a volunteer looks at you as you come in and goes, this one looks like a peppy sort of like young person, maybe 18 man. And he's like, hi, welcome to the Christmas Cheer Support Group. This is great. Please write your name on a name tag and let everyone know that we're going to be starting in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. I guess we just grab the name tags and write their names.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just going to like mingle, wingle. I'll get it. I'll eat a cookie, you know. Mamas need some. Yeah. It's been a long day.
All I've had today is meat.
A little carby.
Yeah, we could all probably use to restore some of our blood sugar.
You got a little bit of pine needle just on it. It's okay.
Blood. So much blood.
What?
Sugar.
Oh, blood sugar. You're right. Don't worry. Remember, everything is great when you come to the Christmas Cheer Support Group. We're here to help.
Blood Sugar Stork Magic. That's my favorite album by the Candy Cane Peppers.
I love the Candy Cane Peppers. They're my favorite band. The
Candy Cane Peppers.
Yeah, they're great. I love them. I love them so much. Anyways, over there, you see his name's Todd. You see Viridia sees you, kind of waves.
I'm like,
walks on over.
Hi.
Hi, Sister Valerie. You're out late for your age. It's a little late for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little too, you know, late for you too, right? What about the curfew?
Oh, no. I'm in my early 20s. I'm always ready to work and help the church.
It's just, yeah.
I know I volunteer a little more than you, so maybe you don't know my hours.
No. I know with all the free time you have, it's obviously, you have to fill it out somehow, you know.
Yeah. I was told that, was said that you were supposed to I was supposed to help you with something, and I was told by...
I'm so busy with all my things. I don't know if I didn't want to bother you. You know, you're just so busy volunteering everywhere. You know, at the end of the day.
Don't worry. I had enough time because I'm always on top. So I did check in with the police department. Well, not police. I checked in to see about the whole
police department.
Well,
happened?
I checked in because I heard. I was told that you went there because I was looking in on the whole. Oh, you, and sees Donald. Mm-hmm. You owe us some relics. And you see that Donald goes,
And I'm like, well, that's why I've been out. You know, don't worry, we figured it out.
Well, you brought him to the right place. He looks a little not very cheerful. Also, you're covered in blood. And he's like,
he's reverse diabetic. It happens to them.
No. Well, you know how it is. It's just corn syrup and dye.
Oh, you have one of those parties. Wow.
Yeah.
Valerie.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, great. I hope you... the chocolate punch. Maybe you can go chocolate. I mean, go. Can you chew,
I want to say that the hostility is crackling, but it's kind of like...
It's just bobbing. Yeah, it's more like deer droppings. Yeah.
Anyway, we're just gonna go there, you know. And
please take a seat.
The stench is wafting.
Oh, I can stand, you know.
Are you sure the leader's gonna come in and just have introduce themselves to everybody?
Extension.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you need any help, I'm always here to help.
Oh my God, of course.
And just so you know, I'm organizing a protest outside your school for, I'm sorry I didn't tell you, I know you're busy with things, like late night, I guess, stuff that you're doing. Donald, we're gonna want those relics back. And you see that Donald goes, okay. Very awkwardly steps away, goes and sits in a chair, all frustrated.
With a gun.
Trying to...
Yeah. You all wait a little bit longer.
Checking it, it's chambered. It's got...
And
it's full.
He's checking it, he's like...
Still more. Yeah, three times to get to rest.
As you wait for a couple more minutes, Donald's there just sitting down frustrated. You guys are standing around still talking with different people. A lot of them are just sort of talking about their year and like how it's hard, but they're just getting to speak to someone, talk to someone about their problems is helping them a little bit. A door opens, a second door that's like in the other side of the room. So one door is open, one door is closed in the room that goes to another room or office.
When one door closes...
Yeah.
Another and one.
The door opens and you see a woman with wild, crazy red, kind of like light red hair, very frizzy, steps in. She's wearing a nice Christmas dress, so it's got a little bit more of a poof to it. And she is smiling ear to ear with the widest smile you've ever seen on a person. She stares at everybody and goes...
Like, is it unnerving to see?
A little unnerving. Right. But everyone sees her and starts to smile and is like excited. And she goes, "All right, everybody. Welcome to the Christmas Cheer Support Group. I'm so happy to see all these great faces and new faces here today."
That's almost Scottish.
It's almost Scottish. I'm a little Scottish. That's okay. but here in this... hallowed halls, we're here to celebrate Christmas cheer, because Christmas cheer is not just about being happy, it's about really there's a woman named Donkey walks by. It's really about how you face adversity, and here in this multi-part experience you shall understand how to be perfectly happy.
It's about being happy. Christmas.
We'll take away all of your greatest and worst fears, your sadness. So sit everybody. And remember, if you come to the Christmas Cheer Support Group, you'll get everything you'd possibly ever want for Christmas.
Oh,
and that's where we
thank you.
End today's session.